This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who provide you with premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation time and dollar. Give them a try. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offers you the highest quality in both vacation homes or condos. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacations. So visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm Teresa Kometz from Portland, Michigan, and I listen to Mickey Miles as I train.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 64 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is marathoner Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. Thank you, because I'm starting to completely freak out, so I appreciate your calling me marathoner.
You're going to do fine.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right. So I guess tomorrow the Boston Marathon Expo will be starting, so it'll be interesting to compare that to Run Disney Expo, but also go to the Run Disney booth and see some of my Run Disney buddies there. So I hear that Jeff is going to be there. He'll be running with Barbara. And so it should be fun, I think. I've already bought some gear, so I don't know. I'm sure I'll end up buying more gear. And I'll be hanging out with Eddie McCoy, too. He'll encourage me to buy gear. So, so anyway, we have an announcement, and then we have a shout-out. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Seatbelt fastened. So the announcement is that while you and I will not be at the Expedition Everest Challenge, Eddie McCoy and Eve Vanderpool will be at the Expedition Everest Challenge to greet people from the Mickey Miles podcast running team, the Mickey Milers. And they'll be there at 9 p.m. on May 3rd, 1 hour before the race starts at 10. And they'll be near the bag check tent. So go say hello to them and post your pictures of the race on either the Mickey Miles page or the Mickey Milers page. Sound good? Mike, is this one that you're sad about not running?
You know, I always have wondered about this particular race, but it's very much like an obstacle course race. And I want to mention to those who are doing it for the first time that you are going to be doing more than 5K. So you definitely will have a very interesting night. And I think that everyone who looks forward to going to this this particular race will find it to be a very, very, very enjoyable race. So I wish everybody a lot of fun.
It looks fun, and it is pretty much the coolest medal out there, so with the compass and everything. So you and I went to cheer people on last year. We haven't run that. So do you think it'll be the last year for that? There's some rumors, and not rumors from Run Disney, but rumors from runners who think that maybe that's going bye-bye.
Well, yeah, we all think, and I'll be blunt. Everybody is thinking, and including me, that this would be a perfect time for Run Disney to present to all of us an inaugural Star Wars weekend race. There could be several races with a Star Wars theme. There's Star Wars weekends in Walt Disney World, so I'll come out and say it. I think that it would be a mistake if they did not do that. I think the first weekend in May would probably be the latest that they would be able to hold a race weekend in Orlando. And why not have a 5, 10, and a 5K, a 10K or and a half, or even a 5K and a half marathon? I think it would be great. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I think it would be great for everyone. I think it would be a great addition to the Run Disney assortment of family of races.
That would have to be in the studios, though, right? So, and there's nothing in Animal Kingdom except for, well, the marathon and then Wine and Dine. So,
you could probably do something in the studios. I think it would be, Michelle, there's a possibility that if that was to happen, that might be a night race, just like this one.
Okay.
Be a nighttime half marathon, maybe.
Okay, so our shout out today is that we could have a whole show. We should have a whole show on that.
Yeah, when they announce it.
Yeah. So our shout out today is to a Mickey Miler whose name is Kyle Rickensrud. And Kyle did his first 5K. Looks like he did it with our buddy Joe Weeks. So that's awesome. Love to hear people getting out there. And congratulations, Kyle. We hope this leads to another 5K very soon.
Nice job, Kyle. And we hope that we can do a nice job. We have some questions that we need to answer. And I'm going to let Michelle start us off.
Okay, the first one is from a runner whose name is Bob Chavez, and he asks a really good question, I think. Not that all these questions aren't great, but his is, "Dear Mike and Michelle, I just finished my first half marathon. The best part is, no matter the time, it was a PR." That's right. When you first do a race, it's a PR. So it was great. It was in St. Louis. It was a Go event. So while it was not a Disney race, it was a lot of fun. Right now, I have no immediate plans to run another race. I was bribed into running this one in the first place. That's a good way to get people racing, bribe. But I don't want to go back to zero either. What would you recommend as far as staying in shape training? The idea I'm thinking is somewhere along the lines that if I could be ready for a half in 10 weeks or a full in 15, I'm considering trying for the Walt Disney World Marathon at some point in my life, 2016 maybe, but don't want to sit around waiting to train before I know for sure if I can run. Or in the event I get a last-minute permission from my wife to run the Food and Wine half, if I was able to go and not embarrass myself by not finishing. Anyway, thanks in advance. I love the podcast. So, Mike, he is asking, what is – we call it like a base. What is your running base for doing a half and then a full? And I think this is a great question because I think you and I maybe have talked about this or kind of alluded to this – maybe not on the podcast, but with each other, that I think that's how we try to keep in shape, that we're always ready for a half within a few weeks. Would you agree?
I agree. We don't have data from Bob on what his base was before he began his half marathon training, but I'm going to take a stab, Michelle, and recommend to Bob that if he doesn't want to go back to zero, that what he should think about is what he feels would be a comfortable base. Again, we're using that term base for him to maintain so that when he does say, you know, in 10 weeks, I want to get back up to marathon level or half marathon level or whatever, he can do it. Now, my suggestion would be what a lot of people will do, and a lot of people will run twice during the week. They will run an hour. They will run an hour twice a week during the work week, probably a Tuesday and a Thursday. And then on either Saturday or Sunday that weekend, they will do a long run. And that could be maybe an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours. Or in many cases, it's just every other day people are running for an hour or so. I think it's an individual thing, and we always say that it's an individual thing, but it's true. There are some people who can go without running for a month and step right up to the start line and take care of business, and there are others like me who I need to maintain a certain base. So I think whatever is comfortable for you, Bob, is what you should do, but I think running at least two or three times a week is necessary.
All Michelle? Right. So I'm going to add on to what you said, and I'm going to say that it depends on your goal, I would think. So if your goal is to run faster, then you're going to approach it a different way. But it sounds to me that Bob's goal is just to finish the race and to keep the base that finish the race. So I would say personally for what I try to do is do exactly what Mike said, do 2 one-hour runs at least during the week and then a long run on Saturdays. My base for a half – With it sounds like, you know, 10 weeks to go would be 7 or 8 miles, and then I'd gradually work my way up if I wasn't doing anything for speed. And for a full, it would probably, my base would probably be about 14 or 15 working my way up. That's what I would do. But the only thing that I would recommend that you consider, and I'm really thinking a lot about this lately with our friends who are ramping up and doing a lot of races, is that there's a lot more that goes on than just doing that base. There's a huge mental piece to racing and learning about what it means to do a half marathon. And I think that you want to make sure that you, before you're ramping up, that you give yourself a chance to really explore what it means to do a half marathon and really do it carefully. That's what I would say. But I would say personally, 7 to 8 miles is my base for a half, and then a 14 or 15 for a full. And I feel like I have a lot more to learn about running halves and loads more to learn about running fulls. I've only done 2 and then almost 3. So, okay, Mike.
I agree with what you said, Michelle. And one more thing, what you just said, I don't think we ever stop learning about running and how we can improve. And that could mean recovery, speed, or whatever is important to you. So it's one thing we never stop learning.
Yeah, I mean, we have friends who have been running all their lives for, you know, you've run for decades. And we have friends who run, you know, when I say more seriously, I mean, you know, people like Mike Wardian who runs competitively. And I think that's why we can keep on talking about running, because it's kind of like learning to play the piano or doing any other thing that takes a lot of skill and a lot of preparation. You're always learning about it. So I think that's true.
Yeah. We ran into Jeff Galloway at Epcot during Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. And he told us what he learned to do that helped him qualify for Boston. So even Jeff is learning. So you never know. Our next question comes from Keith Colmos, who says, "So I caught the running bug. I started a Couch to 5K program, and I'm thinking my first 5K will be this fall at a local zoo, and I would love to run. I'd like to run the 5K at the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. I know that registration isn't open just yet, but I wanted to make my DVC reservation. The 5K is on the morning of the 8th, so bib race packet pickup would need to be on the 7th. What do you recommend for an arrival time in Orlando for a first-time run Disney person? I was thinking of arriving sometime on the 6th. That gives me a day of cushion." Thoughts, Michelle?
This is a great question, because this is going to be opening up to annual pass holders and DVC people this week. He says the January race, Mike, is that correct? Yeah, so the January race weekend. So, Keith, first of all, you're in good company if you've caught the running bug. Second thing is, I've already made my DVC reservation for next January. I use my home resort, and you can book 11 months out. For me, it's Beach Club. And as soon as it was February 6th or whatever it was a year before, I made my reservation. So you'll want to do that definitely at your home resort. And I definitely would not wait to go to another resort, because then you'd have to book 7 months in. And these things are filling up. So I would say the sooner you can get there, the better. But Mike and I always talk about giving yourself some vacation time after the race, so that you have some time to before the race, you're going to be resting and things like that. So you want that time after the race, a few days afterwards, to vacation. So I would say it would be great if you can get there on the 6th. You'll be fine if you get there on the 7th. But if you get there on the 6th, you can go to the expo early, explore, get off your feet, and then be ready for that race on the 8th. Mike?
Yeah, I the only thing I would say is that, remembering what happened this past January with the weather and everything, I wanted to just mention that a cushion is very good. I would say that the 5K is on Thursday, so you would pick up your bib on Wednesday. So my suggestion would try to get there Tuesday, just to play it safe.
I'm so glad that you said that, because we have our friends Dave and Holly Allen, who were on standby, had flights canceled coming from Chicago. I don't know where Keith is coming from. And then we had our friend Stan, who was on the show last week, who had to drive from Illinois too. Yeah. So I forgot about that. In fact, I think Run Disney had to do some accommodations for people who couldn't pick up their bibs because they were just getting there or they couldn't get there. I forgot about that. It's important.
Yeah. So the earlier race you're going to do, the earlier you have to be there. If you're just running the Goofy, then you can afford to be there maybe on a Thursday.
Just running the Goofy. That's my plan this year. Okay, our next question is from Stacy. And Stacy says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I am a walker and I'm considering trying to do the Disney World Marathon in 2015. I'm not worried about the pacing requirements. I walk a 14-minute mile half marathon now, but I would likely have a finishing time of between 6 hours and 30 minutes and 7 hours. How lonely will it be those last couple of hours? Are there a lot of walkers, slower runners who finish the marathon?" Mike, should I tackle this one as a runner or you want to tackle it as an observer?
You go first.
Okay. So first of all, Stacy, the thing I want you to remember is just because you do a 14-minute mile for your half, that doesn't mean that's going to carry on when you're at mile 22 or 24. So you want to make sure that you're training and that you are able to stay at that 14-minute mile for a whole marathon. Having said that, you need to stay under the 16-minute mile pace. There is entertainment. There are people. I ran with 10 other people. We really took our time for the marathon, and I think we came in between 6 and 6:30 for the marathon that we did at Disney in January, which is for us the day 4 of Dopey. And there are plenty of people, so you're going to be in plenty good company. You just don't want to see those balloon people, but you'll be fine. Mike, from a spectator's point of view? Because you were right at the end at the studios and then at the finish line.
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention to Stacy is that there will be runners who will be right with her towards the end. There are a lot of people who start off. There are different methods of running, and there are different labels I have attached to runners. And one of the labels is a rabbit. And a rabbit starts off real fast in a race, and gradually that rabbit slows down. So what will happen, Stacy, is that you will find that you will not be lonely. Like Michelle said, there will be a lot of people who will be, for one reason or another, they might be slowing down and they may be at a pace where, they feel that they need to be in order to finish the race. So I think you'll be okay. I think that what Michelle said is very true, that you need to train for that full 26 miles, and I'm not sure how you would do it as a walker, but I think that obviously there is a stamina issue that has to be addressed by you, and you have to figure out, how you're going to do this. But I think you'd be fine. It'll be interesting to hear your progress if you are going to train for a full marathon, and I think that you have all the right thoughts in your mind as to what you have to do. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, Stacy, I would really love to hear your progress because I bet there are a lot of people listening who would love to think about walking the marathon. So it'd be interesting to hear your updates. Ready for next one, Mike?
The next one comes from Thomas Krog, who says, "Hello all. A quick question about the run walk. When I use my Run Keeper app, what setting should I have it on? Running or walking to track my pace? And I want to say that my opinion is a 5K is a race, not like Mike says. When you are overweight and haven't run since high school, which is 25 years, a 5K is a race, but that is my opinion." Okay, Thomas. Michelle, did you want to answer this first?
So I did a little research, Thomas, who is from Rockland, Mass., which is very nice, Rockland. So I did a little research. I don't use Runkeeper. Mike does not use Runkeeper. I know that people on our Facebook page do. Some people do. So I'm going to bounce that question to them. quickly, I couldn't find that you could do what you should do for run, walk, run. However, I saw that Runkeeper offers Jeff Galloway plans that you can buy for additional costs. So it must be doable. I just don't know how to do it. I apologize. So I would put that question on to the people on the Facebook page. Maybe somebody will jump in and answer. All right, Mike, part two is all you.
Oh, and Thomas says, and I wanted to say that in my opinion, it's a 5K race is a race, not like Mike says, when you're overweight and haven't run since high school, which is 25 years, a 5K is a race. But that's my opinion. It is a race. He's very true. In Walt Disney World, Run Disney 5K races aren't necessarily running races. You won't see that many people running. But outside of Run Disney, you will see races and people like to run 5Ks. Now, having said that, I do want to say this, that there are some people out there, Thomas, who have been running for a long time. And for a lot of them, they feel that sometimes the 5K race doesn't give them enough time to warm up. And I think that's why that there are some people out there who kind of shy away from the 5K because they just don't feel that they get a workout in. But then there are those who still will enter that because they want to support their friends.
So, Mike, are you saying that some people enjoy the distance running more so they don't warm up or that you don't get a workout?
I think that there are people who feel that, and I've talked with several people over the last week about this, that their bodies just don't warm up quick enough. And for that reason, the 5Ks that they will participate in are ones that they're mostly walking or they're helping a friend run their first 5K. And I mean, I get the biggest thrill out of seeing someone cross a 5K for the first time, their first 5K. I don't think that 5Ks should be looked down upon, because if you've never run or if it's been a long time since you've run, getting up to that distance is quite an accomplishment. And once you get there, you know, you should be proud of yourself. But I think that there are a lot of people who, I mean, there's a whole range of approaches to 5Ks, and as long as whoever it is that's going for a 5K is taking a healthy approach, then that's going to be fine.
So I want to point out too that on our Facebook page, Thomas Graf Hull says, "I'm curious why Mike isn't a fan of 5Ks mentioned at the beginning of episode 148." So people think that you're not a fan of the 5K.
I'm not a fan of a $70 plus 5K that Run Disney does. That's number one. The other thing is that there are two reasons, Michelle, why I'm not a fan of a 5K. I look at a 10K as the minimum distance that I could run in a race that Disney would recognize that would help place me in a corral. So that's number one. And number two, a 10K race allows me to give me a chance to warm up before I'm a very, you know, I'm a progressive runner, and running a three mile race, a 5K race, I'm really not going to do that well than I would do in a 10K race, because it take me half that 10K to get warmed up, and then I could really, really, really run the way I want to run. So those are the two reasons. But I mean, 5Ks to me are wonderful for bringing people to the running environment, the running arena, and I think that it's a great distance.
It's great for families too. I just want to point out that I am a fan of 5Ks. I'm not a fan of the $70 price tag, but technically speaking, Disney calls the 5K a fun run, and I think they don't call it a race because it's not timed, Thomas. And so the first timed race that you'll get at a Run Disney event is going to be a 10K, where you get that little B chip in your bib. So you could do a timed race, maybe a local race in your area, but I think it's a lot of fun. I agree with you. I'm not crazy about the prices. I did, as I think I mentioned before, I did a local 10K the other day. It was $25 for me and $10 for my son, Liam. So anyway, Thomas, keep us posted. We want to hear about your 5K, and also let us know if you're able to answer that Runkeeper question. Maybe somebody else can help you. All right, next question. It's really interesting. This is more of a comment, and we had a lot of comments about our show about race pricing. I almost said rice pacing. Race pricing. People have a lot of opinions about it, and Mike, you're not going to believe this. Not everybody agrees with us.
Are you sure?
I know. It's hard to believe. So Megan brings up some great points here. So I'm just going to read her point of view on the race pricing. She says, hi, Mike and Michelle. Thank you for all the great information week after week. I'm a new runner, and I have a few thoughts on episode 159, the impact of race prices. Number one, she's got a list for us. First, I'm only running a few races a year, so cost is less of a factor. I started running last October, ran 4 5Ks in the fall, and my big race was Disney's Jingle Jungle 5K during Wine and Dine weekend. This year, I'm setting my sights on a half marathon distance, and I'm registered to run Disneyland and Wine and Dine. I'll bring my family to both races, and we will enjoy a few days of Disney magic. Because I'm not doing a lot of big races, the cost of a Disney race is manageable. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, we
do a lot of races, so it does add up. Number two, motivation alone is worth the cost. Here's where I think Disney is different from any other destination race. They are motivating people like me to get off the couch and run. I tell friends a Disney race is both my motivation and my reward. It's a great excuse to plan another trip to Disney, but also a powerful motivator to stick with a training plan. When I look how much I've spent in the past to try to motivate myself to stick to an exercise plan, race fees seem small in comparison. I've tried a gym membership, fitness classes, Pilates, personal trainer. All of those activities cost much more and never had the same appeal as running through Disney parks. I'm a new runner, I'm slow, and I have some weight to lose. Disney has done all incredible job making people like me feel like running is possible. I will gladly pay for that type of motivation. I think that's another excellent point.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Go ahead.
No, Michelle, I was going to make a point what Megan says. I think what Megan echoes a lot of what the relatively new Run Disney participants probably would say, and I can understand that. And for a lot of people, it's motivation. It's almost a reward. To go to a Disney, Walt Disney World or Disneyland, because you're rewarding yourself for training and getting fit and you're going to be in a race. But I think that, most of the, relatively new runners are going to echo her thoughts, and most of the relatively not so new runners are going to probably be on the fence.
I think the frequency, though, is important too, because we go to a lot of races. So if we were just doing one, it would be different.
Yes,
you know, that's
yes.
what she's saying. And she's also right about the you know, whatever motivates you. If you're going to pay a gym membership and not use it, you know, you need something. You need a carrot, right? We've talked about a carrot. You need a carrot.
Right.
She says, three, finally, running is an inexpensive sport by comparison. Not for me, Megan. So race fees don't bother me. I mentioned other fitness activities I've tried. In comparison, running is cheap. With a new pair of shoes from my local running store and some low-cost apps on my phone, I'm set. I'm not paying for my gym membership, golf clubs, greens fees, club membership for swim or play tennis. Even with the cost of Disney races, I feel as if running is still by far more affordable than many other sports and leisure activities. Maybe in a year or two, I'll feel differently. For now, my greatest concern is how quickly the races sell out and how far in advance I must plan a Disney race. Keep up the great work. Mickey Miles is the reason I'm running. Last summer, I listened to your shows with Jeff Galloway and decided to give running a try. Thank you. And Megan is from Sugarland, Texas, which sounds like such a fun place to live. Megan, number one, I thought you wrote this letter beautifully. That's my college professor self coming out, but very persuasive. And I think that you did a good job, at least for me, I'm going to speak for myself, to help us keep it real, because I think, Mike, we do a lot of these races and we forget these things. And I think, you know, Megan is exactly the reason that we're doing this podcast, for people who are excited about running Disney races. So I still think they're expensive, but I think her perspective is one that's probably shared by a lot of people.
I think I'm going to add one more. Again, I echo what you said. I think Megan made great points, and she wrote a very, very well, well-structured letter and makes great points. And I have to agree with a lot of things she said. I think that one of the things that is always in the back of my mind, and this goes a little bit to my WDW Today experience, is that we're talking about not just the race, but when you add everything that comes into play, flying or traveling to Walt Disney World and staying on the property and purchasing your admission tickets and paying, you know, quality dollar for hopefully quality food, it all adds up. And I think that's in the that's sort of in the back of my mind. And I think that has a lot to do with the influencing of me saying, you know, these races are getting kind of high. And the other thing is that, you know, we said on the podcast, you know, we talked about our the first price we paid for certain races. The cost of a half marathon has gone up $120 since my first half marathon. So that's also part of it. But I applaud her for her letter, and I am excited that she is running because of us. And I wish her the best of luck. And I hope to meet Megan someday.
Me too. Me too.
And our next question comes from David Zakharuski, who says in a past podcast episode, someone mentioned being able to ride a few attractions during the Disney World Marathon. Is this possible during the Wine and Dine half as well? This is my first Wine and Dine, so I would like to know if we should look out for open rides. Thanks. Well, Michelle, I know that you rode a couple of things during the marathon, but that was during the day. I think that you would be the best person to address this question first.
All right. So I'm going to say, David, I would not count on it. Mike, I only rode one thing, lest you think I was going on.
Well, you rode Everest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't go on Small World and Space Mountain and things like that. No, Everest, I mean, it's right in the path of the marathon. You're running right by it. There's a single rider lane. There's cast members there saying, come on in. You know, you can really run right up to the because you're there right when the park opens, if you time it right, you can run right up to the ride and go on and get off. So that's not the case. Wine and Dine is at night, and you do run through Animal Kingdom, but I don't think that it's even open. I don't think I've ever seen it open during Wine and Dine. So off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that you could ride during Wine and Dine or Tower of Terror. You? Mike?
No, I think that the parks are closed. Those two parks are closed. We run through what? Do we run through? Yeah, we do. We run through. Get it right, Mike. We run through the studios. But the neat thing about running through the studios is seeing the Osborne lights, and
yes,
which we
yes,
won't see this
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
Well, because we won't see it because we won't be running Wine and Dine. But that in itself is pretty cool. And if there are any attractions that you will be able to ride, it would be at the after race party in Epcot, if so be it. Michelle?
Yeah, the only other thing I want to mention is, you know, and although I'm probably a bad example here, I think it could get out of hand if people start running off the racetrack and planning on, you know, going in, planning on riding rides during the races. We don't want to encourage that either. I mean, you really, I bet you could run off and do some things on some of these races, but I wouldn't recommend it. You're there to run the race. And even though I am not practicing what I preached, I think that's one that I would say, yes, you can do it if you're there at the right time during the marathon. But other than that, I wouldn't. Personally, I wouldn't myself.
Mike. Yeah, I think that the other thing to consider is that if you had one attraction open, why couldn't you have other attractions open? Because I do think that – doesn't that path also go past – Michelle, does it go past Dinosaur in the Animal Kingdom? I don't remember.
No.
No, we miss it. We miss it. Yeah, that's right. We go out the other way. But and Disney would have to pay for staffing cast members, so they want to, you know, and that would probably make the cost an extra $25 per head, you know, if you kept that attraction open. I'm only kidding. But, yeah, I think that the nighttime races are the ones that you won't be able to do it. I think that the only daytime race in which you'd be able to do it is probably a marathon. I know that when we run through the Magic Kingdom, when we run through and either the half or the full, none of those attractions are open either, but the park's closed as well. So I guess that's it, Michelle, for our questions. Is that correct?
That is it for our questions, Mike.
It is correct. So we're going to sign off now, and thank you, everyone, for all your questions. We hope that we have been able to answer them. If we cannot answer them, we will do whatever we can to make sure that we go to any length so that we can find the answers and help you guys. And so we want you to keep them coming. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.